We used to live in Dunkirk, New York. It's a small industrial city about 50 miles from Buffalo, right on Lake Erie. It's kind of a sad place, part of the Rust Belt. Most of the industry has left town. The steel mill is long gone. What's left are some manufacturing concerns dealing with agriculture. One is a nearby plant that makes grape jelly. Dunkirk is in the middle of the Concord Grape Belt. So they make this wonderful grape jelly that ends up on some kid's P&B sandwich here in Towson. They also make ketchup. And a magical time of year was the fall when they were making the grape jelly and making the ketchup. And you'd walk outside and you'd fill your lungs with this wonderful scent of cooking ketchup and cooking grapes. Anyway, it was a fine October morning. I woke up. I did a few chores around the house. And my wife, Dory, said, "I'm going to make pizza for dinner." And I know we didn't have any pepperoni. And I'm not a veggie pizza kind of guy. I just don't like broccoli on pizza. So I said, "I'll run out and get some pepperoni." And she said, "Fine." So I went out and I fired up the old Dodge. And I made my way to Loblaw's supermarket. Well, on the way there, I passed Wood's Antique Store. It's an old grocery store that had been turned into an antique store owned by a kindly old gent by the name of Mr. Woods. And I'd been there once or twice before. I know that one time I had been there, I bought this fabulous solid cherry coat rack with two brass hooks on it. And in the middle of each hook, there's a howling cat or gremlin. I think it's pretty cool. In fact, it hangs in our house today. So I thought, what's the chances? So I stopped at Mr. Woods's and decided I'd give it a second shot and find out if I could find something. Well, I walked in the door, and above me a bell rang. And I looked about, and there was not much there. A lot of tired furniture, dinette sets, old frames with some pretty seedy engravings in them, a box of pen knives and old pens on the counter. And it definitely was not Howard Street in Baltimore. Absolutely. And I walked around for a bit, and I said, I'm wasting my time. It's too nice a day. So I started toward the door, and I heard somebody coming up the basement steps. And I looked in the back, and there was Mr. Woods turning the corner. And as he approached me, I noticed that he had on kind of a dirty, soiled, long-sleeve white shirt, a dirty pair of gray khakis. He had about a 4 or 5 day growth of beard on his face, and kind of rings under his eyes. And he didn't look like that the last time I was here, but, you know, whatever. So he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "No, that's okay, Mr. Woods. I've been looking around and really didn't see anything." And he'd say, "Well, have you seen the basement?" I said, "No, I didn't know there was a basement." So he said, "Follow me." So we retraced his steps through the store, went down the basement steps. And as I'm going down those steps, a pungent, earthy smell hits my nose. And I get to the bottom of the steps, and I realize that it's an earthen floor. That's how old the store was. Not poured cement, earthen floor. Also, I noticed that the whole place was lit by maybe 3 low-watt light bulbs kind of waving like this and casting odd shadows on the wall. Well, I looked about, and it was more of the same but worse. Dining room tables with the veneer lifting up, 3-legged chairs. Not my thing. So I was polite. Poor Mr. Woods. I just, you know, looked around a bit more. And then I turned to him and said, "Mr. Woods, I don't really see anything here I like. I think I'll go." And he said, "Wait, there's one more thing I want you to see." Okay. And he said, "Over there in the corner." Well, I turned and looked in the corner, and there I could see some flickering candles. So I started to approach the corner. And as I got to the corner of the basement, I noticed that the wall had been whitewashed. And against the wall was a rickety green table painted a sickly green. And on the table were a couple of votive lights with flickering candles, a couple of vases with plastic, artificial flowers in them. But above it was a huge picture of Jesus of the Sacred Heart, an icon I knew from my Catholic school days. You know, it's the one where Jesus has one hand on his flaming heart and the other hand out welcoming us. Well, I stood there and I looked at that and I thought, I just felt so touched. Here I walked in that door, rang that bell, and Mr. Woods was about his morning devotions. And I thought, isn't that just lovely? So I turned around and Mr. Woods was behind me with a woodsman's axe in his hands. And I went, uh-oh, this is right out of Psycho. So I figured, I have no idea what's going on. All I know is I went out for a stick of pepperoni. My wife will think that I'm at the supermarket. This guy's going to kill me, disembowel me, and bury me in that dirt floor. And I'm thinking, what the heck am I going to do? So I looked at him, and he said, did you see the sign? And what he meant by the sign, I said, no. Read the sign. So I turned around and looked again. Table, candles, Jesus. Ah, there is a rough wooden board above all of it. And scrawled on it with white paint was a biblical quotation. And I looked at that. But I'm also thinking, I've got my back to this guy. He's got the hatchet. So I go, So I turned around again and I said, yeah, I see it. And he said, read it. Okay, so I turned around and in a real quivering voice, I read what it said on that sign. The sins you commit one by one, you pay for two by two. So I turn around and look at Mr. Woods, and he said, read it again, louder. And he still had the hatchet. I figured it was all over. I think this is it. So I turned around, and in my best high school debater's voice, I read, the sins you commit one by one, you pay for two by two. And then I turned around, and he took the hatchet, which was at his knees, and went like this up to his chest, and said, what do you think of that? So I started figuring out what I was going to do. I was in my 20s. He's in his 60s, 70s maybe. I could probably run right by him if I could, but he could do some serious damage with that axe. Even if I knocked him down, he could, you know, hit my legs or something. So I tried to remain cool, and I said, they're wonderful words to live by. And with that, he dropped the axe. On that motion, I ran past him, hit his shoulder, got to the steps, ran up the top of the steps, ran through the store, and ran out into that wonderful aromatic air. I could smell the ketchup, I could smell the grape jelly, and I could see seagulls circling above on Lake Erie. And I figured, I've just escaped hell. I've escaped a chapter from the Twilight Zone. This is bizarro. So I got in the car, went and got the pepperoni, went back, and I told my wife what had happened. And she was appalled. And she said, what are you going to do about it? And I said, I don't know. He's an old guy. He's probably half nuts. He's a religious zealot. What am I supposed to do? And she said, and? And I said, I'm not going to call the cops. I said, first of all, there'd be all kinds of reports to fill out. It'd be his word against mine. He's an old guy. I'm not going to even bother. But to this day, I still wonder how many people may be buried beneath that earthen floor. Maybe people who gave the wrong answer to Mr. Woods' question. And they paid for his sins two by two. Thank you.